Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. For more info, visit InvigorateHealthTN.com. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I am better than Joe. I know that.
I would say so. Rex Road operating on about 2 hours of sleep. So feeling good today.
I'm having a great day. Come on.
That's right.
You're having a great day. You look amazing. You look better than Buck did on TV.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got him on Twitter pretty good. So I will not repeat it.
Thank you.
I read it, and that's why I brought it up.
Well, Corey, obviously a lot of places to go after that game last night, but we'll just start with the story of the game on the defensive front for the Titans. Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry, Harold Landry, Bud Dupree, even on the final big play of the game, forcing the turnover on downs on fourth down. Just kind of goes to show last night what having a front four and an effective front four can do, and the Titans were absolutely dominant in that area last night.
Yeah, in L.A., famous for the fearsome foursome.
Yeah.
So they got it again. I'll tell you, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you see the turnovers, it's not a coincidence. You know, everybody, wants to know where interceptions come from. They generally come from pressure. They come from quarterbacks being under duress and making bad decisions generally. And so it's something, and it's something to see them, just get there repeatedly. And one of my big keys going into this game was being physical with the Rams and really just, kind of getting them into a street fight. And I thought that defensively, in particular, the Titans really punched them in the nose in this football game. I mean, when you see Jeffrey Simmons put that guard on roller skates and just drive him straight back into the quarterback, I mean, that's a grown man pass rush right there. And, Jeffrey Simmons has been very good, particularly very good against the run since the Titans have drafted him. But I think everybody has been waiting for like that Aaron Donald-like performance from him, and they got it last night. And he was spectacular. Denico Autry continues to be one of the best free agent signings this team's had in a while. I mean, he is causing all sorts of havoc. Harold gets another half sack, and Bud may not be racking up the numbers, but you see him out there, and you see him making plays that make a difference and getting better. I think that's the main thing with Bud, is also you see him getting better. They did blitz a little bit more last night. You saw Molden come a few times. You saw David Long come a few times because they knew they had to get there. But that front four, and with an offensive line with Andrew Whitworth, it's tough to do. That offensive line just got beat up, and they got beat up for four quarters. It was really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to put it. Get into a fight with them, be physical, and like just the tackling too in the open field.
Yeah,
I mean, well, that's the exact game plan.
That was one of the other. That was my other big element. Was they tackled extremely well coming into this game. Cooper Kupp had a catch of at least 30 yards in 7 of their 8 games, and much of that was those crossing patterns where they turn it upfield and go, and they dropped those guys immediately. It didn't matter if it was Walker, if it was Jackson, Hooker or Jackson or Molden or Byard or David Long. They all dropped their guys immediately and held them to 6-yard gains or 4-yard gains or 8-yard gains. And the Rams had to work so hard to work the ball up and down the field. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard to do it when you've got to do it in 10, 12, 14, 15 plays, because something can inevitably go wrong. That was the best tackling game I've seen this team have. I mean, they had some bad tackling games early in the year, but they've generally been pretty good since then. But, I mean, their tackling was so spot on. I think you're absolutely right, Joe. It was one of the big, big keys to the game.
Corey, is Kevin Byard building a case for Defensive Player of the Year? You're talking about five picks. Obviously, he's making plays left and right as a pick six last night. What do you make of what he's done, and do you think he can put himself in that conversation?
Well, I think getting a pick six on national TV against the Rams helps. We talked about it in the office before the game. I said, this is a game where Kevin Byard can introduce himself to a national audience. I said, in a pick six would go a long way, and there he goes, and he makes the play. You know, interceptions are great, because it's a stat everybody sees. You know, his problem is he plays in Nashville and not in Dallas. You know, the guy in Dallas has, what, seven picks already?
Yep.
And so people are going to look at that. Now, he's a gambler down there, and I guess you could say Kevin took a gamble last night. I would say more of an educated gamble. But, you know, you can absolutely make that case. The problem he's going to have is where he plays, you know, who he plays for. His name isn't that big, and we love guys who sack the quarterback, right? I mean, that's generally that's generally a stat that really gets Defensive Player of the Year. But the more you win, the more accolades come your way. And so if the Titans can continue to rack up victories, and with the upcoming schedule, you would think they would, but as we saw yesterday around the league, there are no guarantees.
Yeah.
That, you know, if they can continue to rack up victories and they could be the one or the two seed in the AFC going into the playoffs, he's going to have a chance. He's going to have a chance, and he should have a chance, because there's no bigger stat in football than turnovers, and he's creating lots of them.
So, Corey, how do you evaluate the first outing with no Derrick Henry, which also includes two starting offensive linemen out on the road against a really good defense?
You know, it's a good question, Joe, and it's really hard to analyze because that defensive line for the Rams is really good, number one. I mean, Aaron Donald is really good. Those other guys are really good. And, you know, God bless Bobby Hart. He was just mismatched.
Yep.
And they didn't do a lot to help him, and they just basically, you know, they got that lead and they just tried to survive, I think. So it's hard to evaluate a lot of what we saw about those guys. You know, we know Jeremy McNichols, and I thought, you know, when he actually had a chance to run the ball, I thought he did fine. There were a couple times where he had no chance. I have liked Deontay Foreman since Texas. I tell everybody this all the time, so I'm going to say it one more time. He was on my Heisman ballot his last year there. He was in my top three. He is a load. I mean, he is a load. He is a big guy, and I thought he had more juice than Adrian Peterson did last night. Now, Peterson, you know, has been out, and so he may need just some more practice time to kind of get the Jets going a little bit more, and he's also 36 years old. But, you know, I thought that Foreman gave them something last night. But I really like having both of those guys back there, because it's 460 pounds of running back. And you can continue your style of football where you bang away and wear down your opponent with those two guys. And, you know, I think the carries were broken up kind of like we expected, but there just weren't enough of them because they had a hard time staying on the field. But I would expect them to continue moving forward with that group in a similar kind of fashion. Because I do think that those guys, look, they're not Derrick Henry, but I do think if they can get some offensive linemen back, they're going to be able to, those guys are going to be able to put up some numbers for them.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, it was literally a week ago at this time we had you on the air as the Derrick Henry news was breaking, and there was a lot of pessimism from us, from some people on our text line last week about the Titans' chances to win the number one overall seed in the AFC. My question to you after last night, did we maybe undersell this team without Derrick Henry, and do you think that this team has a legit chance to finish as the number one team in the AFC, even without Derrick Henry?
Well, first, let me say this. I had some people say to me that everybody in the national media, you know, said this team's season was over after Derrick Henry went out. And I don't recall making that statement. I mean, did you guys make that statement?
No.
I mean, Now, Jared may have made that statement, but that's what Jared does, and that's fine. But, I mean, look, did I freak out when you told me last week? No. No, I didn't, because he's not the quarterback, all right? If you told me Ryan Tannehill was down, I'd say they're in big trouble, all right? And now, look, Derrick Henry's a loss. There is no question about it. No question about it. But what did we say all offseason about this football team? If the defense can just be average, they can win a ton of games. Well, right now they're looking better than average, right? I mean, yeah. So, I mean, do we all agree the defense won the game last night? I mean,
yes.
Yeah. So, defense won them a football game. I mean, there's no question about it. And have you looked at the schedule the rest of the way? And again, as I said, there are no guarantees in the NFL. Ask the Buffalo Bills, the Bills Mafia. I mean, it's, you know, and the Dallas Cowboys and everybody else. There are no guarantees. But if this team can show up every week, and I think they're growing in that perspective, I think that they're maturing as a football team, they'll be fine. Now, how many wins will it take to secure the top seed? I don't know. But they very well could be favored in every game the rest of the way this year after being the underdog in the last four. They can win a lot of games. I don't think there's any doubt about it. As long as their quarterback's healthy, they can put those two guys out there at wide receiver, and they can get their offensive line back to run the football, regardless of who's back there. They won't be as explosive without Derrick Henry back there, but I don't know what the remaining schedule is going to have to be. You'd still like to have him back for the postseason if you can, when you're playing more of these upper echelon teams. But I think the stat I saw from Ed Werder is that the first team to knock off four playoff teams in a row, like the third team ever, and the other two went to the Super Bowl or something like that.
Yep.
So the numbers are really good. And by the way, the last two games they won before this one, did Derrick Henry rush for 100 yards?
Nope.
No, he did not. Now, the threat of Derrick Henry back there is huge, so I'm not a naive fool. Well, I can be, but in this situation, I'm not. But so, yeah, and again, am I saying they're just as good as before? No, I'm not. But everybody's got to do a little bit more. And yesterday, last night, they showed everybody can. I mean, they didn't even get a great game from A.J. Brown last night, and they won.
Yeah, pretty incredible to think about. There's no question about it. Joe, go ahead, last one.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I think the reaction was, look, one of the reactions last week was they're still going to win the AFC South, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like they would really, I mean, I don't think anyone around here, I mean, like I know Stephen A was like, their season's over, you know, shutter the building and, you know, just don't even show up or whatever. But for the most part, look, I mean, I still think the question remains. I mean, if this is what it is, and that's the problem too, is we don't know. We don't know if Derrick Henry might be back or not, but can this team go on a run in the playoffs without him? I mean, I still do have my doubts and my questions about that. I think it's important to keep an open mind on the offense right now. Last night was a game that flipped on two plays in 26 seconds of football, and who knows how the game goes otherwise, right? But I guess, Corey, if there's one thing that is realistic that you would like to see, maybe it's an injury thing or a performance thing down the stretch moving into January, what would it be?
To make this team better?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think they got to get Lalonde and Davis back. I mean, they got to keep those guys on the field. I mean, this game is ultimately won in the trenches. I mean, you saw last night the defensive line dominated the football game. And, you know, I agree with you. Those two plays swung the game, but the game was already headed in that direction because the defensive line was beating Stafford up. And they continued to beat him up all night long. So it was already headed in that direction. And for the offense to head in the direction it needs to go, regardless of who's in the backfield, they've got to have a more secure offensive line, and they've got to keep those guys on the field. Because 22 is not coming back until the very end at the earliest. So it's got to come from that point. Now, do they need to keep Brown and Julio on the field? Absolutely. but they played last night. I need the guys who didn't play last night because, you know, one of them is a three-time All-Pro who played a dynamite game in Indy a week ago. And the other one has shown he's been good enough to stand up against some of the biggest, toughest defensive tackles in the league. I mean, Nate Davis has been a good third-round pick. We've been bagging on John Robinson for a lot of failed draft picks the last couple of years. The Nate Davis pick was a good pick. He's been a good football player, and they need to get him back. And I think if they can solidify the offensive line and get those guys back, I think they'll be in business. And you're right, though, Joe. I mean, they got a lot of questions to answer. And Ryan Tannehill, until he carries this team to a playoff win, is always going to have to answer that question, can he do it?
Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Show. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, thank you. Yeah, fun fun times. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable stretch.
It is an unbelievable stretch, wow, for sure. We'll catch Corey Curtis coming up next week at 8 o'clock on Monday. Brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. For more info, visit InvigorateHealthTN.com. We'll come back, react to what Corey had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. What a win last night for the Tennessee Titans. The defense coming up huge. Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry, Kevin Byard making some huge plays in the game, and the Titans get it done 28-16 on Sunday Night Football against the L.A. Rams. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. What a game last night from that defensive front, Rex Road. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry, just awesome in that game last night, really from start to finish. And then Harold Landry, Bud Dupree making some big plays as the game goes along as well. When you're generating that type of pressure as a defense, it makes you pretty tough to beat. And as Corey Curtis put it in our last segment, that defense won them the game last night against L.A., and that was something I think pretty exciting to see if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah, it's not something we talked about much last year. I mean, it's been a pretty dramatic revival, I think you can say at this point. You're talking about 5 sacks, 11 quarterback hits, you know, of course, 3 for Jeffrey Simmons. And he was right there on the one that Landry and Autry shared. But this front four is, I mean, it's legit. I think you can say that now. I mean, I will say that the Rams, the interior of the Rams offensive line, I mean, it's going to be a fun film session today for those guys.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not the strength of the team, but it's a good offensive line, and the Titans beat them up. You know, 7 passes defended as well to go with the 11 quarterback hits. So tackling, I mean, so many things that were just solid and sound. The coverage was sound. I mean, you know, even in the Indy game, you had a couple of busts and you had those PIs downfield. But for the most part, this defense has wiped away the big play that was plaguing it early, which is, you know, it's something that's easy to talk about. But to actually get through that in a full game against some of these quarterbacks and offenses is really impressive. They just seem really connected. And they still don't have, you know, all of their key pieces. I think Jayon Brown coming back was big. And I think that's probably going to be – that'll be interesting when Rashawn Evans comes back, is how they work inside linebacker. But you get Christian Fulton out there, and I don't think it's far away from happening at all with that defense the way it's functioning. And I think that's where you can also be more aggressive sometimes in coverage, like Mike Vrabel was talking about last night.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in. Speaking of the defense, Chris Jackson played a heck of a game last night. In my opinion, J-Rob may not be able to draft first-rounders, but he sure has a way of getting the most out of late-round picks. Chris Jackson was awesome last night, and he was highlighted on the broadcast a few times by Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, but man, he was great last night.
Yeah, and who saw that coming? You know, I mean, sometimes it's just you just don't know, you know. But when a team has what this team has, And I do think that there's a special kind of chemistry. I think the intangibles are really strong. That's when you have that, you know, guys come out of nowhere to give you these big performances. And Chris Jackson has been solid. And like you said, I mean, that's a really good late pick in last year's draft. You've gotten way more out of him than the norm for someone at that point in a draft. But then last night, it was like he took it to a new level. His physicality was a big deal. So they just got some special things going right now. And it does start, and it probably has to start now, with the defensive side of the ball. And I absolutely would not have guessed that a month ago.
So let's just go ahead and throw this out there, because, and you could tell me whether or not you agree with this, but I was thinking about this on my way in this morning with the injuries this team has sustained. Obviously, you just lost your best player heading into this game. You're 7-2. Right now, you're the number one seed in the AFC. There's still a long way to go this season. So in some ways, it's premature to talk about what I'm about to bring up. But Mike Vrabel should be getting some serious love right now in terms of NFL Coach of the Year. I mean, he has been outstanding this year. We've talked so much in the offseason about the decision to hire Shane Bowen and the decision to promote Todd Downing to offensive coordinator. You know, somebody on the text line points out they're like 7 players away from using the most players in an NFL season in history. Like, they've had to deal with a lot of things this year, and here they sit 7-2 with maybe the most impressive 4-game stretch in regular season recent memory with this franchise. And again, there's a long way to go in the regular season, but Mike Vrabel has done an outstanding job with this team, and he needs to be getting some buzz for Coach of the Year in the NFL.
Yeah, well, he got some last night on the broadcast. And, you know, if you go through the league, you know, I think, boy, he's got to be on a real short list right now, doesn't he?
I would think so.
I mean, I think you might look at – I think the one name that certainly comes to mind is one guy who beat him, which is Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep.
8-1 team, and they go out with their backup and just go take it to the Niners, yesterday. He might be, I guess, the front runner, Kingsbury. But you know what? I don't know. If you did a poll of all the people who vote on that award, I'd be interested, and I would bet that Vrabel would be right there. I mean, how could he not be? Again, if you followed, you know, all that has happened, and if they keep winning from here, especially if they keep winning from here, and I don't care who it is, if the record is really good from here, without Derrick Henry, man, that will make him tough to beat for that award. And I agree with you. I mean, look, it's been really impressive. And if you really look at the trend with this team, which, by the way, has now won 13 of its last 16 games, on the road, which is the best in franchise history. It's incredible how well they play on the road. Michelle shared this Mike Herndon tweet. So Vrabel's win percentage is now above Andy Reid into 6 among active coaches, just behind Belichick, Tomlin, Peyton, McVay, and LaFleur, by the way. Yep. So, you know, sometimes it's small sample sizes with guys like LaFleur and Vrabel, but I mean, it's been impressive. This team, if you go back to when they made the switch to Tannehill, they've won 27 of 39 games. They're 27-12 playoffs and regular season combined. That's right up there with the best in the league. And they have an identity, and they play to it. And a lot of the things that we see out there comes back to him.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show, live from Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the New Orleans Saints. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday. After a big win for the Titans, improving to 7-2, now leading the AFC again, they've won 5 in a row, dating back to the Jacksonville win. That loss to the New York Jets seems like it's very far in the rearview mirror for this Titans team. And I was talking last segment, Joe, about Vrabel getting some Coach of the Year love Ryan Porth texting in, says last week Vrabel was 28-1 for coach of the year odds. He's now 8-1. That's a pretty significant jump in a week's time.
Do we know? I'd love to see the leaderboard on that.
It's probably. I think you probably nailed it with Kingsbury, but that's got to be close with Vrabel.
I'm just wondering who else could be ahead of Vrabel right now. If Kingsbury is the favorite at this point, that's the problem. Is like I think like Brandon Staley is an option for what he's done there. You know, you look around, there's just been so much inconsistency in the league. I mean, it's tough. You know, you could look at Sean Payton for one thing. He's a popular choice for that. And I think that they are overachieving. I guess even going into last night, McVay would be into that or would be in there, but they're loaded. I don't know. I think that's a kind of a clear 1-2 right now. Vrabel, Kingsbury.
I would put Staley in the conversation. One guy that's probably not in the conversation that should be, I mean, John Harbaugh needs to get some Coach of the Year love.
That's true. You're right. And honestly, Tomlin, I mean, those guys consistently, you know, we're talking about some of the best coaches in the league, you know, those two guys in particular are a couple of the best coaches in the league. They have been for a long time. And I'd say both of them have done awfully well with what they have.
Porth tweeting it or texting in, the leader is Kingsbury, 4-1. Staley at number 2, 6-1. Vrabel at 3, 8-1. And then you've got Mike McCarthy, 10-1. Matt LaFleur, 14-1.
Now there's some Dallas Cowboys bias right there, man.
Hey, they're 6-2.
No, I know. I know.
If it was a if it was a time management coach voting award, I don't know that that Mike McCarthy would be on that list.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. He's fine.
Are you a McCarthy hater?
I'm not a hater. I probably think more of him than some people. I swear, some people around this league think he's the worst coach who's ever had a headset on. But I'm not sure about him being a serious Coach of the Year guy right now.
Jacob from Murfreesboro texting in. I know this feels like beating a dead horse to some, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Given where this team stands and having ripped off the most impressive winning streak of the NFL season, how can Titans fans not show up in ways they haven't in years starting Sunday against the Saints? If we get home field advantage in the playoffs, we've got to build back that home field advantage we had in the Steve and Eddie days. It's time for us to build that back coming up starting this week.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think that this season to me has been the best by far that I've seen consistently in that stadium. Even though Bills fans had 98% of the stadium for some observers. But I also look at this, like, I feel like a lot of the draw of coming to see this team is 22. But I mean, you got a 7-2 football team, the number one team in the AFC. I mean, we know there's going to be one – well, we don't know, but basically we know there's going to be one home football game in the postseason, you know, for winning the division. But the schedule's not super attractive either. So this will be interesting. This will be an interesting kind of look at how much excitement in general there is about the team. No Derrick Henry and kind of a, you know, I mean, the home schedule is you got the Jags and the Texans. You got the Saints coming in, but they're all banged up. And, I mean, I guess, you know, Trevor Siemian, he had 217 passing yards the second half yesterday. You got, you know, the Niners and Dolphins, both those games looked big on the schedule coming into the year.
Yep.
And both those teams are basically going to be playing out the string, which is probably good for the Titans, but also like there's no signature home game left. So if the crowds are great, if the support is there and you build that, as you just said, build it toward the postseason, I think that says a lot about what the city thinks about the team. And they should be excited.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've kind of thrown this out there today. I'm racking my brain right now. You've gone 4-0, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, and now the LA Rams on the road without Derrick Henry. I mean, this is the most impressive stretch of regular season games, at least since 2008. Like to me, that's the earliest that you can go back to. And I had some people on Twitter yesterday, making this is the most impressive stretch they've ever had, and saying the most impressive stretch they've had since the 13-3 season in 99 or 2000. So you're talking about a long time since the Titans have had a stretch like this that's been this impressive in the regular season. Now, obviously, playoff games, they mean more, and the stretch they had to get the AFC title game was great. It was better than this. But I'm talking regular season strictly here. It's been a long time since the Titans have played this well.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's rare that, honestly, that you would have four games in a row like this in a schedule.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't even have that many opportunities. Again, like Corey retweeted that stat about, you know, beating four playoff teams for the year before in a row. I mean, it rarely happens. And recent teams who have done it have gone to the Super Bowl. So, just the opportunity. And I understand. I mean, you could look at it now and say, well, the Bills just lost to the Jags. And, you know, the Chiefs aren't what we thought the Chiefs were. I mean, it's impressive. And the Bills were playing better than anyone in the NFL when they came into Nashville and took an L. And the Colts game was for their entire season on the road with all kinds of stuff happening. And I still think the Chiefs, I mean, obviously they are on the struggle bus offensively, but that's still the Chiefs, and it's Super Bowl champs, Super Bowl runner-up last year, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, then you go out and do what they did last night. It's quite spectacular, honestly.
I got a texter that says, AD is definitely a Hall of Famer. If he wins the Super Bowl, will he go in as a Titan? What do you think about that? Is Peterson going in as a Titan if they finish the job this year, Rex Road?
I had a friend tweet me and say, if he never takes another snap and they win it all, does he get a ring? And I said, yes, he does. He just scored a TD last night.
Yeah, he did.
He's locked up his ring. Yeah, will he go in as a Titan? Huh. I mean, I've always assumed. I mean, I know that's a joke, I think. I guess I've always assumed. I don't know. Maybe I guess I would have always thought he would go in as a Viking.
Yeah.
That's how I still identify him. But, hey, if he makes a run and can hold up the trophy at the end, at least maybe put, like, the flaming thumbtack somewhere in the, you know, in the picture or something, right?
Coming up next, we'll get Joe Rexroad's three best and three worst performances from the Titans yesterday. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Titans searching for a little respect. I think Michelle is upset by the lack of respect nationally for the Titans. She's been fired up this morning about it.
I have been fired up, and maybe because this is... I mean, you guys, I feel like you've been covering the Titans for a very long, like a while, so maybe you're used to it. But I feel like just listening to the game last night, watching the halftime show, they're all like, oh, well, the Rams, it's just an off night. It's just an off night.
There was a lot of that.
Or the Bills, oh, it's just an off night. Or whenever I tell people, my friends who I went to school with, that, hey, watch out for these Titans, yada, yada, all this stuff. They're like, well, they lost to the Jets. I'm like, is that your comeback? Well, they lost to the Jets. Well, they lost to the Jets. Well, you know what? The Bills just lost to the Jags.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I'm fired up, okay? I am.
Joe, do you sense the Titans are being disrespected? Joe's talking and I can't hear. There he is.
Sorry, Joe. I muted you accidentally.
Oh, all right. It wasn't my fault. You're so flustered you muted me. Now, I just don't want you to drift into the announcers hate my team territory.
We've seen some of that on the text line today.
No, but one the Titans, like, aren't my team, you know?
No, I know. But, I mean, the announcers hate this or that. I think it's fair to a point. I mean, I do. I think that there's sort of a reaction from people, especially when they play games like this and win them. What's wrong with this team that we thought would win or that we thought was better than them? So I think there's something to that. Speaking of the Jets thing, so on my column at theathletic.com, commenter Blake S is, I mean, and you know, most of the comments are like, this team's amazing. I love this team. It's the best. You know, everybody's all excited. Blake S's comment is, the rest of the schedule should be a cakewalk, but unfortunately this organization always plays down to the level of competition.
Yes. Yes.
And I respond, I was like, I must say, to see negativity like that after a winning stretch like this, I just have to tip my cap to you.
Yes, I
like,
applaud.
Blake S, you are a true, what's the opposite of sunshine blower? What's our demand excellence?
Negative Nelly?
No, what was the term that we used to use, Robbie? There's sunshine blowing and there's...
Doom and gloomer.
Doom and gloomer. Yeah. Thank you. You are, Blake, an absolute tried and true doom and gloomer. And the doom and gloomers right now, they are endangered, right? Like they now are. All the sunshine blowers are like, we told you this team was amazing and you guys are all idiots and all that stuff. The doom and gloomers lie in wait for that stunning loss to, you know, Houston or whatever.
Don't even put that out in the universe.
I guarantee you this, that there will be at least one or two of these games that they're supposed to win handily that will be way closer.
Oh yeah.
And that's the league, and it's also just the psychology. There is a psychology, especially I think with a close-knit team, to knowing that you're not supposed to win a game and playing with this collective focus that they've played with that is so impressive. It just isn't there for you when you play the Jags or the Texans. So it is a different kind of challenge in some of these games coming up.
There's a lot of hatred for Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth coming in on this text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans fans not happy with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth last night.
Well, I look forward to you know, watching the TV tape over, because I'm always interested. And I like, you know, I mean, obviously Al Michaels has been great for a long time. I like Collinsworth. I think it's a good crew. I like Sunday night games. I think they're good. I think they have good analysis. I am very disappointed that Al Michaels doesn't know freaking Kevin Byard's name.
Now,
I
mean, to his credit, he said it. I think he said it correctly the rest of the game, but the first time he did say Byard, and then he heard Collinsworth say Byard, and I think he made the adjustment after.
Yeah, I mean, these teams all, like, the Titans have people who go and help announcers with this, you know?
Well, you can get Nick Westbrook Akina's name right, you can get Kevin Byard's name right. It's not that hard.
Speaking of which, like, the press box announcer, which, of course, doesn't have the same pressure, right? Yeah. And they're just talking to us. My God, did they butcher. And I don't even remember what he did with Westbrook Akina's name last night, but it was not pretty.
That's all right. I was in Chicago one time, and their press box announcer called Callie Yarncroak Kyle Jancrack, so there is that. So, could always be worse.
That's incredible.
Wow. I can't believe we never got Jan Crack into the whole Rex Croak thing. I could have some fun with that.
Now, at forward, Kyle Jan Crack for the Nashville Predators. So, Joe Rexrode, your three best and three worst performances last night for the Titans. We'll start with the three best.
Well, first of all, this is one where, I mean, if, you know, I'd rather just do six good. And, like, I don't, it's hard.
Three worst is hard to find.
Three words are hard, but so best, I'm going to go number one, Jeffrey Simmons. Number two, Danico Autry. And really, it is 1A, 1B. With Simmons, obviously, he had the one sack that led directly to a turnover. And, you know, he's sort of the guy people have talked about as an Aaron Donald kind of guy and all that stuff. He's a young player, high draft pick. So, so he gets more attention. I guess he was incredible. He wrecked the game, but Danico Autry did too. So it's like 1A, 1B for me, and then I'm going to go Byard 3, but there's a lot of ways. I mean, look, I thought, like, as people have pointed out, Chris Jackson, what a performance from a guy who, you know, he's going to start when someone else is hurt typically. You know, what a performance. I mean, David Long running around. Just so many, and Shane Bowen would get an honorable mention too. I just think, just like last year, whatever was going on, some of the stuff we saw, and people are talking about coordination and everything, it's like, well, how could you not look at that and say there's a problem, there's a disconnect? Well, I don't know how you could watch this defense now and play the way it is and not then give the credit to Shane Bowen. So it's all really up and down the defense for me.
Any bad performances last night?
Well, I mean, if I have to – I mean,
Bobby
since
Hart?
I do – Yeah, I mean, he would be one, and it's kind of unfair,
yeah.
You know, because like the guy's thrown in, but the bottom line is he got beat a few times, like, really quickly, and it was costly. You know, the Titans gave up three sacks. Again, you're missing 40% of your offensive line. I would say Aaron Brewer was quite good, yeah. I thought, but he's one. I would say AJ Brown, you know, I mean, just to having those two drops. I mean, there weren't many mistakes last night for the Titans, but AJ Brown having those two drops was those were costly. And then honestly, I know this is Titans, but I'm gonna depart a little bit. You know, the officiating, and I've got Rams people coming at me too, by the way, on Twitter. And I bet you didn't mention the bad officiating in your article. I was like, actually, I did mention the call on Aaron Donald late. That was terrible. And I mean, I think that it was basically close to over. You know, it's 5 minutes left, but that ended it, right? But let's also remember, like, Jalen Ramsey, like, they actually made some reason up to keep him in the game when they called unsportsmanlike earlier. And that, by the letter of the law, he should have been out of the game in the second quarter. And then they go back in the official game stats and change it. Yeah, unnecessary roughness, you know, slide it in there. Yeah. No, I mean, that's weak. So just it's easy to rip on officiating, but sometimes you still need to do it.
Yes, and I think last night, a good example of that. The best part about that was after the play where A.J. Brown and Jalen Ramsey are sitting there chirping each other, and they both get the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which, by the way, like, if that's going to be taunting now, if two guys getting up and talking to each other, like, oh, what are we doing? I mean, this is football. That's been going on forever. But also Vrabel's face at the end of that, like, looking at them, being like, and they had no clue about the Jalen Ramsey situation. Vrabel had to bring it up, which is why that led to this big discussion on the sideline. And Vrabel's face when they're explaining to him that the first one was not an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And reading the lips, it was a variation of what are you talking about. There were some other words thrown in there, but it was awesome.
Oh, man. After the game, he's like, well, guess they called someone else. Just let me know. Just let me know then if that's what the call was. Yeah, he was beside himself.
I like
I can't wait to see that replay.
And the nice shout-out to Vrabel last night of the NFL officiating Twitter account as well that you can reach out to if you're a member of the media.
Yeah. He's flirting with some fines here. But, hey, it's worth it, right?
I'm here for
shouting every now and then.
You know, it's always a good thing when we go through these segments that we do every week with you, the three best and three worst. When you got a tough time coming up with three worst, that's a pretty good sign for the Tennessee Titans. Really impressive stretch there on.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of bests that you know, could still go in there. And again, mostly on the defensive side of the ball. But I mean,
David Long Jr., he continues to be really, really good. Hopefully he's not hurt for an extended period of time.
Yeah, that was late, you know, and he limps off, and I'm sure that'll be one of the things this week. But that's another thing. If you want to talk something that has made this list before, which is the injury situation, it's actually, I guess you can't say it's getting better when Derrick Henry just went down. I guess that's kind of ridiculous, but there are guys coming back now. And last night was actually an incident-free game until long at the end. And I can't remember that all year. So maybe the luck is starting to turn in that way.
Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week, a $30 gift card for only $15 to the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, your favorite community coffee and tea shop offering a variety of coffee flavors and shine-worthy teas. The Beanbag is a great place to have a meeting while sipping on a cup of hot or cold coffee or tea. You can also enjoy a breakfast sandwich that's delicious, cheddar broccoli soup, turkey sandwiches, and more. Get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, get his thoughts on the Titans and the big win last night against LA and the Predators grinding through this road trip as well. All that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.